Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is March 24th, and it's the Final Four.
Okay, we're going to start with the bracket.
We are going to start with the bracket. Yes.
Yeah.
Some positive news.
It'll be nice to talk about something other than Megan. We start recording. You can keep this in, keep this going. But yeah, we're doing Skype episodes now. We're using Zoom and we're recording these videos. And now I've got Megan just crouching and trying to sneak in below the video. So got that going forth. But yeah, we should start with talking about the best bar in Kansas City bracket. Mm-hmm. Because it is something other than COVID-19, and it is something better than talking about a stupid virus that I no longer respect and I don't want to talk about.
Yeah. So a couple surprises in the bracket, and that the biggest surprise being our sweet prince, Kelly's Westport Inn, went down in the Sweet 16.
Was it in the Sweet 16?
The Sweet 16. It lost to 5-seed the Levy. Wow. So didn't even make it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, that's shocking to me. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked. But, you know, every great bar, you know, that's like Duke losing. You know, Duke, Kansas, those Blue Bloods, mm-hmm. they go down every once in a while.
And, yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just it's time for a 5 or 6 seed. To make it to the Final Four and ride their hot momentum, because yeah, Kelly's was the Duke of this tournament. They mm-hmm. were the number one overall seed, I felt like, and for them to fall out is upsetting to me, but you know, that's why you play the games.
That's why you play them. Yeah, so the Levy just barely edged them out just by 1 percentage point. So just a few votes that decided the difference there. So that was definitely the biggest shock. And that whole Westport bracket, Kelly's and Ale House both go down. So the finals in that bracket was the Levy versus Harry's Bar and Tables, and that was the Elite Eight in the Westport bracket, a 5 and a 6 seed.
Hey, again, that's why they played. And I really thought Harry's was gonna pull it out and head to the Final Four, but they got beat by the Levy. The Levy, you know, people love the Levy. They don't even have food, so I guess they are like
they have food.
Actually, I think they got food. Yeah.
Yeah, they got food.
They're not. They're definitely not known for their food. You don't go there to like eat food.
Yeah, but you go there for the live music, and they have great music, great bands playing all the time.
And back to what you were saying about the Sweet 16 matchup between the Levy and Kelly's, I saw that the Sweet 16 matchups were much closer than the Elite Eight matchups. So in the Sweet 16, you had matchups like Grand Falloon versus the Brooksider, which was really a really close matchup that mm-hmm. the Grand Falloon ended up winning, and they went to the Elite Eight as a 6 seed. You had Up Down versus John's Big Deck, which was a really good matchup, really close in the Sweet 16 that John's Big Deck won.
Mm-hmm.
Bar K versus The Ship, another close matchup that Bar K pulled out. Funky Town versus Soli's in the Sweet 16 was really close. I can't believe Funky Town is still around. Or hey, did they lose in the Elite Eight?
They lost in the Elite Eight to the 1 seed Bar K. But Funky Town had a good showing. A lot of Funky Town fans out there. If you've been once, I think you get hooked on it, the experience. And usually you take a party bus out there too. So I think Funky Town is just a fun night and has good vibes because of the party bus to it. And you're usually celebrating something fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not just going to Funky Town on a Saturday for the heck of it.
Yeah. And I think that this bracket is also proving that in Kansas City, at least for bar popularity, social media doesn't really matter because the blue line has advanced to the Final Four and mm-hmm. Their owner doesn't exactly know how to operate social media to promote it via social media. So he's been emailing out the bracket to his supporters and it's worked.
Yeah, it's worked. And I mean, shout out to the blue line for actually trying to put the link to the bio or link in the bio to vote. Didn't quite accomplish it. Did their best effort to get it in there, though. And is just steamrolling competitions. And, you know.
Hey, emailing the link is gets a better response than social media, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've discovered that.
Yeah.
Plus, like, the Peanut, who is probably the number two overall seed.
Yeah.
I don't even think they have a social media. And
they account. Are not present on social media.
And they definitely don't have an email chain
or
an email subscription list. So and they've advanced to the final four. So, mm-hmm. So social media, doesn't matter for this bracket. A bar is a bar is a bar.
Yep. So we got eight seed, the blue line versus one seed, the Peanut in the final four, one of the matchups. And then the other matchup is, the number one seed Bar K versus number five seed, the Levy from Westport.
If it winds up being Levy versus Peanut, that's a good matchup for best bar in Kansas City. I think they both represent a lot of they're both very Kansas City in their own way, and they both represent a lot of great things about the bar scenes of Kansas City. You know, people love dive bars, people love live music. There's a lot of bars in each region that were both of those things. So I think that coming together would be a it would make a lot of sense. I'm not endorsing either one. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not my role as one of many members of the committee, including the algorithm.
Yeah.
That's not my role to endorse, but you know, that kind of makes sense. Those are both very, very representative of Kansas City.
Yeah. I love the blue line just because I'm a big hockey guy and, you know, interviewing hockey players at the blue line and, you know, got to meet the owner. So, you know, I'm happy for the blue line. Not endorsing, but just happy for him.
I have a long record, track record of my feelings with dogs. So I just won't go into Bar K, but we love those guys. We've had them on the show. Really nice guys. It's a really nice bar. Yeah,
Dave Hensley was great.
What?
I said Dave Hensley was a great guest that we had on the show.
He was a great guest. And it's a great bar, and they've got a great setup. For being a dog bar,
And so voting, go vote right now as you're listening to this. Voting in the final four lasts from Tuesday until the end of Thursday, so Thursday at midnight, and then starts up again Friday at 12:30 a.m. and then goes until next Monday at 5 p.m. So by next Monday, you are going to know who the winner is of the best bar in Kansas City.
Mm.
Yeah, very exciting.
And originally, you know, the idea was to have a big happy hour at the winning bar.
Mm-hmm.
That will come.
It will come.
But just be patient.
Once our social distancing is over.
Which we are doing.
We are.
Very much.
Because we're on Skype. Yes. Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's it for the bar bracket. Go vote, tell your friends to vote. And again, we will have a happy hour at the winning bar eventually. All right, let's jump into openings and closings every week. See what's opening and closing here in Kansas City. Let's start off on a positive note. Danny, you have something opening and it could be something to save some lives.
Yeah, so it's not quite opening, but basically a Kansas City-based tech company and app called Triple Blind. The company's called Triple Blind. They're a Kansas City-based tech company, and they're developing an app called Private Kit Safe Paths that the White House is planning on using and rolling out that will help this whole corona situation. So essentially what the app does is it tracks your entire movement, every move you've made over the last 28 days, so that if you get diagnosed or if you test positive for COVID-19, you can show the hospital your app, and the hospital or the Department of Health will know exactly where you've been and exactly who you've been in contact with. The thing that makes this you know, different than, I don't know, other tracking apps, I guess, is that it, the company is called Triple Blind, and it's completely like the whole point of the company is privacy and encryption. So like the point is to give the end data, like where you've been, to the user, but a lot of encryption and a lot of privacy is in between like what you are actually doing and you as a person, and then the end data, like the end results, where you've been. So because the whole point of it is privacy, like the entire company exists to be privacy, like around privacy and encryption. I think that's why the White House and like the COVID response team, they've been in direct talks with Mike or Vice President Pence's team, about unveiling this app, that could help a lot. And it's based here in Kansas City.
That's awesome. And because my first fear was, okay, I don't want the government tracking every one of my steps and where I go.
Absolutely. So
the fact that the company's mission is to keep everything very private and secure, I think it would help. Because then if you do test positive for COVID, then you would input that you have tested positive. So then people could see, basically track everywhere you've been. And so, you know, could know where the COVID has spread to.
The website for Triple Blind, it has a, it's all about encryption. And like the homepage has a picture of Enigma, you know, the German tool used in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
Good thing no one ever cracked that, right? Like, that's like the logo of their website is Enigma. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Is that
good thing no one ever cracked Enigma?
Isn't that what Benedict Cumberbatch, didn't he crack
it? Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch cracked Enigma.
Okay, I thought so. Yeah. So that's what that's cool. The Kansas City tech company, Startland News, wrote a really cool article about them that you guys could check out. So that's what's opening. And then you have a closing, kind of a closing with Hillcrest Country Club.
No. Wrong closing.
Okay.
I have I-35 southbound is closing.
I-35 southbound.
Yeah, traffic. Oh, traffic, wow. Man. Right just up like my alley.
The so whole thing?
We talked about what?
The by 75th Street. Is this what we talked about a long time ago?
Mm-hmm. So we talked about this a long time ago, how the bottleneck at 75th and I-35, whether you're going north or south, it's a bottleneck, but especially coming north. It goes literally from 6 lanes down to 3 lanes in the span of about 3/4 of a mile. So what they're doing is expanding that basically right under 75th Street. So most of the work, I think, is being done on the northbound or on the southbound side. So southbound I-35 is now closed. Basically, what happens is you get down to one lane and then you exit on the 75th Street exit and you go up onto 75th Street and then back down onto I-35 South. Okay. So you like exit. But smart thing that they did was they closed the 75th Street, the bridge. So there's no traffic on 75th Street. So there's never a stoplight coming off
smart
the ramp going back on. So there's no, I mean, there'll be huge traffic delays because it's moving down to one lane.
Hey, but a lot of people are off the road right now. So it's a good time to get some of this done.
Yeah. The southbound, the zipper, the bottleneck, sorry, the northbound bottleneck coming off 69 onto I-35 when 69 ends. You know, I'm a zipper guy. I'm a big zipper guy. So the bottleneck didn't really affect me as much. And because I'm a zipper guy, you know, that automatically makes me smarter and better than everyone else. All those non-zipper people out there that are really frustrated by the bottleneck. But if you're a proper zipper guy or gal, the bottleneck isn't that bad. But the problem is most people out there are not zipper people, and they make the bottlenecks worse.
Free non-zipper out there. Free the zipper is what I say.
Let the zipper go.
Let the zipper go.
Free the zipper.
Yep.
But I basically wanted to turn this into a PSA that zippering is better and faster, and you should not merge. If a lane is closing, don't merge until the last minute because that is better for everyone. Look it up. It's math. It's science. Ask an engineer. it's the right thing to do.
All right. Thank you for your PSA. Get down off your soapbox. And we'll head to the interview now. This week we talked with Chris Easter. He is the founder, one of the creators of themanregistry.com. So we talked to him because it was like, hey, wedding season's coming up. Let's get Chris Easter on. Talk groomsmen gifts, bachelor parties, all of those things, which we did. But now weddings are getting canceled left and right.
Wedding season's off.
Wedding season is like basically canceled right now. I think everyone's starting to just push theirs back. I think this fall is going to be one of the craziest wedding seasons ever because everyone, I feel like, is just late summer, fall. Everyone's pushing things back. So get ready for a crazy fall wedding season. So Chris Easter, we're going to talk groomsmen gifts, bachelor parties, weddings, all of those things.
And the company, he started the company here in Kansas City. So that's kind of the connection to Kansas City. But it's a company, it's a website, obviously, that's e-commerce website that exists all over the country. But he lives here in KC and started it here in KC. So we're awesome. He was awesome to sit down with us.
All right. Today, we're joined by our guest, Chris Easter. He is co-founder of The Man Registry. I guess where I'll start is with a pretty sick brag. I'm in 3 wedding parties this year.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. So the Man Registry, is that where I'm going to get like the gift for a groom maybe? Or is the groom going to get me a gift on there? Or is he registering for his wedding on there? Really, what is the Man Registry?
So it's a little bit of all of the above. So the original concept and kind of why it's called the Man Registry is back in 2008 when we launched the site. Myself and my 2 co-founders were at that age where our friends and family were starting to get married, and you wanted to get them it's your guy buddy from college, your good pal. He's like, I want to get him something cool. That he'll be really happy about instead of, like monogram bed sheets or flatware sets.
Monogram so. Bed sheets. That's like Toy Story. Bed sheets? Who invited that kid?
Well, so that's our problem that we had discovered. As well, there should be a kind of a supplemental registry for the guys. Not to take away from what else is being registered for, but also just a gift for my college buddies to get me. So, we'd go to weddings and just buy stuff that wasn't even on the registry, like a kegerator or a beer rack or something. Mm-hmm. That's just you didn't register for it, but it's cool to have. So it's like, well, there should be a website for this. So, mm-hmm. We're all kind of entrepreneurial minded. So I was like, well, it's a good idea. We'll start a website for it. That was the original idea. It was just a list where you could ask for, kind of the guy friendly stuff. So fast forward. So yes, to answer your question, guys can register for gifts. Okay. What we've done since then as we've grown as a company and just kind of learned more and more about the wedding industry and just the gift industry as well as we primarily now provide groomsmen gifts. So yes, it's the stuff that you are getting from the groom for being in the wedding party. Stereotypically is, pocket watches, flask, beer mugs, cool stuff, but stuff a lot of guys have, already. So mm-hmm. we try to find that good mixture of, the classics versus the kind of the newer breed of gifts. So, for example, some of the popular items we have going this year is like a desktop whiskey barrel that you can actually age your own.
Oh, yeah.
Your own bourbon. Okay. And you may have seen those. Been getting popular mm-hmm. in the last couple of years. I mean, we'll engrave, whatever on the front of it. And as you guys saw, we've got some cool baseball bottle openers as well that are kind of one of our top items this year. It's a real baseball cut into a half and with a bottle opener added in the middle. So, mm-hmm. We try that, to.
And you stick it on your fridge.
You stick it on the fridge. Yeah. So it's always, within awesome. Arm's reach. Mm-hmm. So, we try to bridge that gap between the classic stuff like the watches and the ties versus kind of the new stuff that not every guy has seen.
Okay,
yet.
I have a problem with some of these gifts. I don't understand the personalized axe or like the axe or hatchet with a personalized handle on it. And I saw it was
you don't have a man cave.
I know, but I saw it was number 4 on your list of best gifts for 2020, and I don't get it. Help me out here, Chris. Why would I want an axe with my initials on it?
I'm not sure I get it either, to be honest, but it's...
You're just like, we're in the e-commerce business, yep. And if they want to buy it, we will sell it to you.
You know, I think with the popularity of the axe throwing lanes, and that's really popped up. I know Kansas City has a couple. I've done it, and it's a lot of fun, and you know, I didn't necessarily leave there thinking I need my own axe, but we started getting emails, it must have been early 2019, do you guys sell engraved axes? It's like, well, no, we don't. We should look into that though. And, you know, come to find out there's quite the market for it. So, and you know, it's something different. I mean, it makes for a good photo with all the groomsmen holding their axe and, you know, I don't know about the mixing with alcohol side of it, but, hey, you know,
it's like showing up to a bowling alley with your own bowling.
The
ball.
Coolest people do.
Or
that.
Showing or up to like shoes. Topgolf with bringing your own clubs to Topgolf.
You know the guy walking into Topgolf with his own clubs. He's not there as a casual outing. No.
He's ordering Gatorade from the bar. Yep. And he's honing in those skills.
And he is winning whatever game he plays. Yeah. And he will be pissed and not have fun.
Same with the guy who brings his own engraved axe to Blade and Timber.
Comes to play. Well, okay. So I hope. The guys I'm in their wedding party, I hope they're listening to this.
I hope we can engrave an axe for you.
Axe, yeah, whiskey barrel, any other like top sellers out there that you were excited about in 2020?
You know, the stuff that sells really well for us or sold really well in 2019 and continues to trend into 2020 is personalized travel gear. So your travel bags, your duffels, your backpacks, and we do a lot of coolers as well. Stuff that's actually it's a practical, fun gift. You know, but it's not a watch that you have 20 of already. Mm-hmm. So we do embroidery for the wedding party. So whether it's your name, initials, or, you know, a lot of guys will do inside jokes on different things as far as the personalization goes. So, you know, this is, being recorded on, March 12th. So I'm not sure where the travel world's going to be, when this
every
airs,
plane but, will be grounded.
You know, but, we do a lot of the travel, stuff and, you know, it makes sense, for destination weddings as well. So, you know, if you're going to be having all your groomsmen fly in, for a wedding and you want to send their gift to them before the wedding, here's a customized duffel bag or a suit bag for, kind of hanging your suit and not letting it get wrinkled. We do a lot of those and it makes sense from a wedding party perspective if you're traveling in.
Yeah, I really liked those. It was number one on your list, so props to that because number one on your best groomsmen gifts of 2020 was like the canvas duffel bag.
Yes.
Embroidered. And I think that's a classy look. And it's, you know, that's a style and that's a gift that, while it's not like timeless, like a watch, you know, you can have one of those things forever.
Yeah, exactly. And we want to supply gifts that are going to last forever.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot in the market and a lot of different price ranges. And we try to find that sweet spot between, you know, you've got to buy 5, 6, 7 gifts. You know, you got to get every guy something, but that adds up quickly at buying it at that rate. So, we try to find that sweet spot.
He got a socks.
Yeah. The socks worked.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So here's what I did. And I wish I would have known about the man registry because I just, you know, you probably get this a lot, but I just went to Etsy and was kind of looking around there.
Yeah.
Couldn't find anything that I really liked. So I got some socks from, you know, like Sock 101 or the local Kansas City sock company. And then so I got married in December and my guys were wearing blue suits. So I bought them all like isotoners, like leather gloves.
Mm-hmm.
But they were brown because I thought they would go with blue.
Classic mistake.
And they did not turn out the way I wanted them to.
And then immediately we all put them on and we were like making strangling jokes because of these leather gloves.
And like
gloves.
The brown gloves just didn't work. So I wish I had gone to your website. But I want to go back to kind of the beginning and why you're on our podcast. So this man registry, it's based here in Kansas City.
Correct.
And your office is here. How did you wind up here in Kansas City and what made you pick this to be kind of your hub for an e-commerce company?
Well, I've had an entrepreneurial interest my whole life. I mean, I was doing, baseball card stands, as a kid and, you know, I'd set up a little stand on our street and, you know, and kids walking by, adults walking by, you know, I'd have my prices all listed. And I don't know if I ever
rip them off.
Yeah. I think I had some, I had my Beckett out trying
what
to
was your, whatever. What was your best card that you had
I
as a kid?
I feel like the Jose Canseco okay. ones were, at that point in time, he had a rated rookie, I believe it was Don Russ maybe, rated rookie card. And
I used to love cards too. Like yeah. I think I had a...
We still have a book.
Yeah, we still have a book. Yeah. I think my prize was like a Griffey rookie card with... It was a Topps with like the silver or platinum outline, yep. something like that. It was... And you'd get your... Beckett, or what were they called?
Beckett.
Yeah,
card, Beckett. Card values.
Yeah. yeah, and you look up your... Man, there, that just brings back
You know, there's a documentary memories. On Netflix right now about that Ken Griffey Jr. card. And it's actually really... It kind of gets into some of the whole baseball card, the rise and fall of the mm-hmm. card industry. But anyway, so I digress. So in college, my job and what you know put me through college was a eBay business. So I... when I didn't have class, I would have a route of all the, as is in St. Louis, I would hit all the thrift stores. And one day I hit kind of the downtown area, and the next day I kind of hit the outskirts area. And I would, you know, looking for sports jerseys, Abercrombie and Fitch clothes, any name brand, whatever was popular at that time, in good condition. And yet I had my, my quality control guidelines and mm-hmm. just throw them up on eBay and you'd be amazed. There was one in particular, it was three for a dollar. Shirts, and it was just this one rack, and you know you'd find some gems. I mean you're paying 33 cents for something, and it's going uh-huh. for, you know, Abercrombie and Fitch going for, you know, used, and I'm listed as used, going for, you know, 25-30 bucks a pop. Uh-huh. And I don't think you can do that anymore, because I think enough people kind of got that idea. But I had a good run. Sports jerseys, that was where the real, if you could find those in good shape, that was where the real money was. So I actually never did another job. I straight from college into this, and it was around the time I mentioned that our friends were getting married, and you know, I wanted to do a business. You know, I was really interested in the startup world, and said, well, you know, I'm going to give this a go. I'm at the age I can take a risk. I was engaged to Kim, who's now my wife, and her brothers had the same observation as I did. Like, you know, let's give it a shot. So we started it, and I think we focused more on the registry up front. And now that's why, you know, the name comes from the main registry, and, focused on some content, trying to provide a lot of blogs and information on what guys need mm-hmm. to know for getting married. You know, what's the process for getting engaged? You know, how do you pick your groomsmen? You know, what are the do's and don'ts for, you know, for, the wedding day? As we grew, it was became a natural fit that, you know, groomsmen gifts were something that we should offer. And, mm-hmm. It's grown from there. It's grown from, we're now, you know, we do a ton in the wedding industry, but, we also do year round gifts for any occasion. We're starting to get a lot of inquiries now for corporate gifts, and anything on our site can be personalized in one way, or the majority can be personalized in one way mm-hmm. or the other. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, for us. You know, it's a fun business to be in. So, ended up here in Kansas City once we, I lived in California from 2008 to 2015. My wife's an actress, and she acts a lot here in Kansas City, actually. Mm-hmm. Currently, I was like, well, you know, we need our own real office now. We just basically done spare bedrooms and garages mm-hmm. until then. So we're out in Overland Park now, out in the boonies. We've got a nice little facility now, and it's really grown. It's you know, it's fun to think back on what it was on that day one, and you know, here we are 12 years later.
And I'm interested, like, I know why, but I guess I'll let you tell the story. But what makes you guys different than just going to Etsy and typing in groomsman gift? Because right. obviously I wouldn't do that again because it did not work for me. But, you know, what would you say to, you know, come to us instead of going to Etsy?
Yeah, well, it's twofold. You know, one is it comes back to that finding that balance of the unique gifts versus what's, you know, if you get on Etsy, there's some cool stuff. There's a lot of just... random
flasks.
How many different ways can you engrave a flask? And yeah. we sell a lot of flasks, and it's a you know, to use your word, it's a timeless gift. Every guy needs a flask mm-hmm. or two. But with the barrels and the axes and mm-hmm. the baseball bottle openers, it's trying to find that you know, that magic of what does every guy not have already. And you know, we're always looking. The other thing too is, you know, we noticed a couple years into this is we don't want to be a site where, you know, you buy your groomsmen gifts and then you never interact with that brand again. So our thinking is, you know, we would definitely want to sell you your groomsmen gifts. We want to provide a unique product, and provide a shopping experience that's, you know, user-friendly and fun. And then, hey, you know, we can make suggestions for, you know, Father's Day gifts, anniversary gifts. We can provide that kind of that, you know, almost kind of a wingman aspect from yeah. from a gift shopping. There's always a reason to buy a gift, I've discovered. So, but we want to be more than just kind of a faceless, you know, website. A lot of the companies that have come and gone, that we've competed with, it's just a template. It's a, you know, it's just no real branding or any kind of voice behind it. So, mm-hmm. That's what we want to be. So that's our, you know, that's our goal. That's one of the things we focus on every day.
Mm-hmm. So a couple observations. I think you've really dated yourself with the Jose Canseco card being the coolest and that Abercrombie & Fitch was cool in college too. Well, which those are two things I don't know why I noticed, but yeah. I was just laughing like, oh yeah, Abercrombie & Fitch was cool for college students.
Oh my goodness. It was, if you weren't wearing it, you were, you know, you were wanting to be, so I'm 30.
If you were wearing it, you were hoping you could get it off eBay for a little cheaper.
Exactly. Yeah. We have a little discount shop. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm 36. This is the only job I've ever done. It's funny, you know, people will ask, you know, well, is this, you know, I still get asked, is this your full-time job? And it's funny, I guess I would be asking the same thing, when I see, you know, it's, oh, the man registry, that's funny. You know, it's kind of a side hustle. It's pretty amazing what, e-commerce has done to, mm-hmm. What businesses can thrive, even ones that, you know, would on the surface seem kind of like, you know, make you scratch mm-hmm. your head. You got to put the work into it, but it's obviously it's
fruitful. What was the biggest learning curve about that whole e-commerce market? We've talked to some people from e-commerce. Mm-hmm. Was it the technology side that was different or that was hard to learn, or was it more just the sales side and trying to figure out how to get in front of people? People always think, I could just sell it on the internet. Everyone has access to the internet. That's so easy, but it's so hard to get people to come to your website.
Everything has been, you know, a learning experience from day one. The three of us didn't know the first thing about building a website, the first thing about e-commerce. You know, this was before, you know, Shopify, WooCommerce, Magento, anything that's, you know, you're building on a pre-built platform. So we had a custom built website for the first, you know, the first half of our existence. Mm-hmm. So there's no fix when something breaks. So that was a challenge of even building a site. Search engine optimization, that is one of my key focuses in the business. And I've from day one just taken an interest in it. And I enjoy it actually. It's free leads. If you can show up in the search results, mm-hmm. It's a link, it's a click you're not paying for. It's a link you don't have to go work to get. That, you know, starting from scratch, it's very, very tough to build an organic, business. We were fortunate enough, and we launched our site and we put press releases out. I mean, that was back in the days of, you know, online press release sites, and mm-hmm. we put them out. And I mean, the idea was so unique, or just hadn't been done, of the guy's wedding angle. And it's crazy to think about, the first 2 months of our launch, I was on The Big Idea with Donnie Deutsch, which doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. We were, quoted in ABC News. We were actually talking with Shark Tank for a while. We ended up not.
That's
doing
where it. I helped. Yeah. That helped me formulate that question, watching Shark Tank.
Yeah. So very good. Yeah. I love Shark Tank. Now it's the best thing probably that's ever happened to me. I didn't go on Shark Tank because at that mm-hmm. time, you know, we would have been the ones going on that they knew they were just going to tear apart.
You were ready.
Yeah. Then you get that As Seen on Shark Tank sticker, getting embarrassed on national TV.
they consider themselves responsible for your success on a certain level if you go on there. So there's some interesting things with Shark Tank that, from the legal side of things, that are, you know, and they, you can back out all the way up until you basically walk out on stage, but it was we weren't ready. And, thankfully we've, not had to go that route and, you know, and, you know, who knows where.
How did you guys do that initial funding and get everything started? Was small business loan, or just did you have investors, or were you just kind of like, oh, let's put our own money up here?
Yeah. So we were fortunate enough to, be able to self-fund, from day one. And, you know, we've been very lucky, but also very, methodical in our approach. And we knew, you know, the goal isn't to become an overnight success and just, you know, be, you know, making a ton of sales on the first week of launch. We wanted to build the roots of building a good website, and having good products and making good relations. So, you know, we kind of knew, like a lot of startups, that you're not going to be making money, you know, right away. So we were fortunate to be in that position where, we could, you know, we could reinvest all the profits right into the business. And so we haven't had to take any kind of outside funding or financing. Mm-hmm. It's we've just been very fortunate, but we're very smart about it, you know. It's been I think a good way to do it,
to go about it.
I would recommend. I mean, there's, you know, there's multiple ways to do it. I was, you know, would recommend it.
So a part of your website, you know, you're not only selling stuff, but you want it to be a website people interact and people come back to. So you've got a blog that you kind of post like wedding tips, bachelor party tips, how to propose tips, things like that, to be a resource for guys. And it's very, it's really rational.
Yeah.
And like, it's actually not, you know, controversial or like hot takes or anything. So I think we need to spice it up a little bit.
Oh boy.
And get some of those like click, super duper clickbait articles so that you can just like stop being rational and stop giving actual good ideas and just start giving really bad ideas to just clickbait the shit out of people and get them to your website.
Yeah. I mean, we should just build the Barstool army up and go that
route. So I've got some ideas for couple ideas for some articles. When's the best time to take off your shirt at a wedding?
Yeah.
List number one, they play Honky Tonk Woman.
It's a good one.
We did that at my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, it's kind of a tradition in our family somehow. And, Honky Tonk Woman came on and my mom looked at me and she goes, "You better not take off your shirt." And I look behind my mom and it's my dad who has his shirt off over his head for
running
Honky Tonk Woman
to the dance floor.
Yeah. I think I could help with this article. The best, most efficient way to black out really quickly at the wedding.
At the wedding or the, okay. So at the wedding itself.
At the reception. Oh, what do you think about that?
It seems legally tough to promote.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, let's go through the line. Is it your wedding? B, are you in the wedding party?
See,
you know,
very,
it's
very
easy for the guy in the back who's at the, you know, the misfit table.
The B-list table.
To black out.
Actually, if that guy blacks out, that's bad. Well,
maybe. Or there's like the five different types of drunks at the wedding would be a good one.
That'd
too.
Be a good one.
Mm-hmm, that's very clickbait article.
Because people can relate to that. I've probably been all five of those types of drunks at the wedding.
So you guys are still going to fun weddings. I'm not graduating to the you know, I'm in the one of the, you know, older kids, quote unquote, at the wedding. So, you know, it's
and you've got a kid. You can't just like show up and take your shirt off because they played a Rolling Stones song.
Yeah, that's not. We have to find the overnight sitter for those ones.
Yeah, but it really is. And I also had you have a list on here that is, five signs she's ready for you to propose.
Oh boy!
So number one, she's talking about her friend's engagement rings. Number two, she's leaving her magazines open all over the apartment. Number three, leaving her laptop open. Four, her BFF or sister is dropping hints. Five, she wakes up and says, "I had the best dream that you got me a princess cut vintage style diamond ring. Isn't that crazy?" So I really liked those. I wanted to add to your list from my experience. Number one, she says, "This is the ring I want and you have until the end of the year to buy it." That might be a sign she's ready for you.
That's
to
the
propose.
The ultimatum.
Yeah.
She says, quote, "We're never going to get married, are we?" That might be a sign, right?
Yep. Putting you on the spot is that's a surefire way to kind of make or break
or
the situation.
Or I think a sign is when she says, "When are you going to propose?"
That's she a pretty might good be ready sign. Then.
She might be ready.
Yeah, she might be ready. Well, after like 6 years of dating, I think that's
those
are natural questions to have.
The underlying main idea here is you should know when she's
I think the biggest
one. I can't wait to see like Megan on Tuesday after this comes out and she hears this.
I think the biggest one is she will tell you about people you don't even know got engaged. She's like, oh, Zach and Cindy got engaged. I'm like, I don't even know who those people are. That I think that's a big one.
Yeah. It's funny. We, you know, we can run all kinds of analytics on see what people are putting into Google to find us. So, mm-hmm. and that's some of our content is created strictly from those.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, yeah. You know, when is, you know, when is he going to, you know, finally, we've seen it all. Actually, it's funny. We have, we do have a lot of the brides actually on our sites finding mm-hmm. the content to give to the groom to their fiance, mm-hmm. The ring buying stuff in particular. So, you know, to your point, it's there's some guys need the assistance for sure. Yeah.
So how do you come up with those ideas? Is it just kind of, you guys in the office sitting around riffing a little bit and, you know, putting down a blog or, because I think they're pretty good and they're obviously well thought out. How do you come up with that side of the website?
We're trying to answer questions that people are asking. So again, mm-hmm. you know, if you study your Google Analytics closely, you know, you're seeing the search terms that are, you know, look, a lot of our content is geared towards the grooms and groomsmen and, you know, how much do you spend on groomsmen gifts?
Yeah.
When do you give out the groomsmen gifts? Those are questions we're directly responding to because people are asking that. It's in the search history. If you analyze search results,
you can see people found your website because they searched, you know, how to buy an engagement ring.
Exactly. Yeah. Any fill in the blank, how to buy an engagement ring, you know, when do you do the honeymoon how much, you know, how much should you spend?
I'm the best man.
Yeah.
That's how I stumbled across your website the first time.
I was
his best man. I think it was either how do I plan a best man or how do I plan a bachelor party or maybe something about the speech. And I think I stumbled upon your site.
We get a lot of traffic from the bachelor party arena and mm-hmm. it's fun. One of the things we're doing this year is we're going to start rolling out local guides for, you know, and probably starting in Kansas City and, you know, bachelor party guides, local venues, where are the coolest places to take your wedding photos in Kansas City. So we want to have that local, you know, we are a national company. Most of our content isn't geared towards one region, but that's something we really want to get into. I think with you guys listeners, it would be, you know, more informational to have a specific, you know, local guide on our site as opposed to just a one box, you know, one size fits all national guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually had that thought in my head. So this is me interviewing for a job for you. I could be the consultant. I'm excellent at planning things and I know Kansas City. So it'd be like, hey, if you're coming to Kansas City, I'm your bachelor party planning.
I think we're going to need to actually just hit all 64 bars in you guys bracket.
Yeah,
that's going on right now. Uh-huh. And, you know, we can see who's bachelor party approved and who's maybe better left for not the bachelor party. So I'm on board. Let's sign the paperwork. Okay.
We'll get it figured out. Or a bachelor party correspondent. And it's like a reporter going on bachelor parties.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not a reporter, but someone giving like, you could even crowdsource that. Like, hey, did you go on a bachelor party to New Orleans? What'd you do? What'd you try? And then you can have that on your website. Because people are always looking for ideas. And if you just like Google things to do in New Orleans, it's like, mm-hmm. Shit. Like, this is just going to be ads. And I can go to TripAdvisor and that's not very helpful. Like, I'd rather have a really thorough.
Well, it kind of goes back to, you know, we want to be that trusted, you know, for guys that are in this stage in their life, that trusted source. Side note, have you guys actually been to a bachelor party in New Orleans?
I have.
That's one of the, that's a fun time.
Yeah.
We all gave each other that look like, yeah, we've been.
Yeah. I went on Halloween.
We've seen it.
The funny story is I was up on, you know, the balcony that overlooks, you know, mm-hmm. Bourbon Street. And there's one of these just parades just start. I can tell from nowhere.
Midnight on a Friday.
Yeah.
Parade.
Oh, well, no so reason. I'm like, I gotta take a video of this. So I take a video and I send it.
So you pulled out like your handheld camcorder.
At this point, yeah, my Blackberry. I'm pulled up. But, you know, I'm filming this parade going by and I send it off to the guys And I get back talking about it a week later, and it's like, hey, did you guys see that that video you sent? It's like, you know, you sent that at like 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like,
it's wild. Really?
There's just this parade, the streets back parades.
Just, yeah, and you can just get in it. We were there for our brother-in-law's bachelor party last year. You can
join in the parade.
And yeah, we're just walking, and then there's like cars that are driving through the parade, and they're just like honking, yeah. And people are just like dancing on top of the cars. It's
no rules. No.
Yeah, none. It truly is.
So staying on bachelor parties. What are some of the, I feel like you called out some of the classic mistakes. I didn't read the blog all the way through. What were some of those? What are some of the classic ones?
I mean, you know, to be fair, you want to follow every groom's going to have his own wishes for a bachelor party. You know, one of the mistakes you see is just assuming that, you know, the guy's, you know, he wants to go clubs. He wants to, you know, just get blackout drunk, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's not just the best man kind of assuming that that's what the groom wants to do. So it's always important if the best man kind of has an idea, and if he's the best man, he should know.
Yeah.
The other thing too is, we always recommend that, you know, the groom doesn't obviously pay for anything, or it's split up. You know, the best man shouldn't pay for it all, even for attending the party, you know, one of the things that's changed in the last couple of years is, you know, like, easy paying, like Venmo, has really helped guys split costs.
Split wise.
You know, it's fun to go out to the bars, for sure. I mean, all the Kansas City bachelor parties I've been to, it's just been, you know, it's been, we're going to Westport, and that's a lot of fun. But you know, it's also, we're seeing more destination bachelor party trends where, hey, we're going to go, we're going to do something, a weekend trip. We're going to go skiing. We're going to go down and play some of the Ozark golf courses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got two of those coming up.
There we are.
Yeah.
Well, since you're a correspondent now,
I know.
I'm just telling you, dude, along if that's okay.
I've planned my second bachelor party. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Your second bachelor party? Or your second? You always got to ask.
Right. Yeah. I actually have a funny scenario. I went to a buddy's first wedding, but not his first bachelor party. Now he's getting married again. I got invited to his bachelor party. But I'm not invited to the wedding.
That's interesting. Well, I gotta
which one is better?
Write a blog about it. Option two, like, might be better. Just all the fun of the bachelor party. Well,
the man registry, you know, we never turn away repeat business. So.
Right. So what are your thoughts on RVs?
RVs are fun. Yeah.
What could go wrong?
What can go right?
Well, I'll tell you what can go wrong. It can break down in the middle of Alabama.
Ooh.
When I'm on his bachelor party that I planned. Yep, that's real. That happened.
We went. We took an RV from here down to Tuscaloosa for the Mizzou-Alabama game. It broke down. 15 guys needing to get to the game. What do you do? Load up in a U-Haul.
Yeah, $20 a day for a U-Haul.
Wow.
Yep. So we pulled up to the RV lot next to maybe the richest person in Alabama who had 2 60-foot RVs.
Nick Saban?
Probably like his cousin or something. And then we rolled up in our 1999 on the side U-Haul van, 15 guys in the back of there.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. I mean, yeah. And also, yeah, I'm going to ask if there's photos, but that's also probably non-bachelor party rule is no photos. So
There's video.
You should have photos of something like that.
Definitely awesome. Luckily, we made it all the way there, and it broke down at the golf course. So at least it didn't break down on the side of the highway or anything. Yeah. But RV was awesome.
The RV was
on
sweet.
The way down there. Yeah. Very fun. Let's see.
That's all I got.
I got another thing about bachelor parties on your blog that this is one I have an issue with. You said
we just brought you here to just like grill you.
What is this?
Tips. You said first about planning a successful bachelor party. First, you need to solidify if you want to go the traditional route with guests or branch off into newer territories of bachelor parties, co-ed parties, or joint parties of the bride and groom. Joint parties are gaining popularity due to the rise in people getting married at an older age and is new to the scene of bachelorette parties. Why would you even recommend that to anybody ever?
You know, there's the different, you know, strokes for different folks crowd. And, you know, we do see it actually. I understand it. I don't know anybody, that's kind of gone that route. I
knew some people. We're not friends anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. You see, You see couples getting married older ages, and they've got shared friends, and you know, it's like, let's just, you know, let's do this.
Chris is like, that was my bachelor party, you dick.
It's going to take me a while to recover from this.
Okay, I guess I would get it there. I've seen it with younger people, and I'm like, what are you guys doing?
You know, there's so many different ways to do it. I mean, and you know, it's you know, like good for whoever finds what's making them happy. You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, it's just one of those things I'm judging people for.
I'm gonna go home and delete that off of the website.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll send you a bill for that.
Yes, no, I appreciate that.
And then just my last question: you've gotten or you do a lot of personalized gifts, and you've mentioned that. Is there anything you won't print on something? Like, have you had to turn people down and say, nope, sorry, I can't print that nickname. That is too out of control.
It's a great question. Our policy is we'll, you know, unless it's hate speech, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's who am I to judge what somebody's inside joke is?
Yeah.
I will say we had one, so we do some stuff in house. The non-personalized variety. We do a lot of our personalized stuff is done through some partner companies that we work with. One of them being Louisville Slugger. So, which is now Wilson Sporting Goods. They're very strict on what they will and won't engrave. And if you think about it, it makes sense. You know, say there's a murder scene with a baseball bat.
And it says pencil like, dick on it.
Right. Yeah. So, it was actually, I wish we could have done it as, it was, somebody had requested, the engraving, God Wants You Dead.
Oh,
holy cow.
So, you know, we send it along and like, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why you would want that, but whatever.
Yeah.
And
they classic inside and, joke. You know, yeah. It's like, why would you want, you know, a co-ed bachelorette party? Why would you want God is Dead on there?
Turned out it was actually, it was a gift for the, officiant. And that was part of his sermon for the wedding was the title of his, and I guess it all made sense. And I went back and forth with the customer.
Had to be there.
So I wanted to do it. Yeah. Had to be there. I wanted to be able to do it. And when I heard the story, I was like, it makes sense. I get why that's the saying. Mm-hmm. I can't do it, and we don't engrave the baseball bats at where I am, so I can't do it for you.
Yeah,
but we'll do, again, barring just an extreme something.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah, do yeah. So really, people in Kansas City, we have people who listen outside of Kansas City. Everyone can really just go to themanregistry.com, right?
Correct.
And really, just browse away at groomsmen gifts. For the groom,
occasion, you know, we've got Father's Day coming up in a couple months. We've got some, you know, we have a small selection of bridesmaid gifts as well. Just trying to, hey, you know, you're here, check out what, you know. So there's a lot of cool stuff. We're always adding new products. It's one of the, you know, best parts of the job is finding the next cool thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to top axes, but we're on the lookout.
Anything?
You guys just start sending me your ideas. We'll make it happen.
I made, for actually part of my groomsman gift, I made personalized golf balls, which was kind of a hit with a picture on them of us from the bachelor party in front of the RV or in front of the U-Haul.
Yes.
And then personalized the golf balls. So that was a good one.
Yeah. That's a classic gift right there. So
again, that one is the buy one get one free deal between us. That one's free.
Okay, that idea is free. I've got to sign
that
up
idea
for
is
now.
Free.
The,
yeah,
just
exactly
$9.99 a month.
Exactly,
the Ritz Brothers.
All right, well, perfect. Chris Easter, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks.
All right, thanks again to Chris Easter for joining us. Awesome interview. Really cool that he's got a shop here in Kansas City where he runs the business out of, but really can sell to anybody across the country, and some really cool gifts on there.
Oh yeah. Is he from St. Louis?
He's from St. Louis. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a Cardinals fan. Yeah. That was the only thing I didn't like about him.
Yeah. That and suggesting, group, bachelorette parties. That too.
That was disgusting. But we should have bleeped that out. Actually, that kind of language is not right. It's not suitable for the ears of our listeners.
But what was really cool is let me get these really really quick.
Tell him about what he got us.
He bought us, He made us some State Your Line baseball bottle openers. So what they do is they take baseballs. Real baseballs, they cut them in half, put a logo on the front or a name or whatever, your groomsman, and then on the back, they have a bottle opener. Kevin's showing us. This is really good. This is really good podcast material. But now Kevin is showing a bottle opener on the back of a half a baseball. So yeah, the baseball cut in half with the logo on the front and a bottle opener on the back. It's pretty cool, and it sticks to your fridge. It's a magnet.
Yeah, awesome. So thanks again to Chris for joining us. So when you know the time finally does come to have your wedding, if you've had to delay it, use this guy. Go through themanregistry.com. Very cool.
I really wish I had heard of the Man Registry when I was buying groomsmen gifts, because he's got much cooler ideas than what I came up with. And
hey, those socks were great.
As you heard in the interview.
All right. So that is wrapping up the interview. Next, let's jump into what we try this week. And, you know, I mean, normally we're able to get out in the city, try something new around town. But the quarantine, a.k.a. the teen, has got us, you know, stuck at home, working from home. So we tried working from home. And
a substantial amount of time working from home.
A lot of it. And we have come up with a little pros and cons list of working from home. So I would say first pro, my dog hangs out with me all day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's a pro, big pro. Mm-hmm. Number one pro is sleeping in. Yeah. Without a doubt, like I've slept till like 8:30 every single day, like all the way to 8:30, and then laid in bed for another half hour, got up at 9. Another pro, making a big breakfast. Like I've been eating like a king for breakfast. I had cinnamon rolls. We had French freaking toast for breakfast last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was also going to say a con is also my dog and roommate's dogs being around and barking all day while I'm trying to make like conference calls. So positive and negative from the dog.
Not showering is definitely a pro.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I shower, but you don't have to.
Well, I've showered every day, but it's like I shower whenever it's convenient
for me. Yeah, that part's nice. I have great internet at home too, so been real nice.
Must be nice.
Yeah, that's been real nice.
Internet.
So I have great internet, and I have a TV in my office, so I can, you know, take a break, watch a little TV, Netflix, local news, whatever it may be. So I love that.
I really love taking my time with lunch as well, like making a really good turkey sandwich or something, then making some baller turkey sandwiches.
Yeah, being able to cook for lunch is nice. Cons, my neighbor got a bunch of trees cut down today, and that was really loud and super annoying.
My fucking work chair is my kitchen table chair, and it's just a wooden chair. I've adapted by putting pillows on both the backrest and the seat, but I am currently sitting on a wooden kitchen chair for an extended amount of time, and it's the worst.
It's terrible. I wish I had a nice office chair, but I don't. I just have a wooden kitchen chair as well, and I just sit on a pillow, and that's it.
I am also sharing my kitchen table with Megan, and we're both taking calls at the same time and trying to talk over each other. And so one of us will have to go into the bedroom in order to take a call, which is really annoying.
Yeah. I can't really walk around. Like at my office, it's a huge office space. So I can get up, take a lap, walk for 15 minutes. Like if the weather's crappy, can't do it.
Oh, and walking around and grabbing candy off of people's desks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, every office, like there's certain people who have candy out on their desks.
Yeah.
Like that was one of my favorite things ever, was walking around and stealing candy from people, and can't do that here.
I know. But, you know, snacks is one of my pros, because I've got tons of snacks with me now. So,
Conserve those snacks.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing my best too. But so some good things, some bad things working from home.
Yeah, not shaving. My facial hair is gross right now. Good podcasting content right here.
Yeah, that is. You got the old Patch Adams going over there.
Hey, Patch Adams was a hero, man.
Yeah,
he helped kid.
Yeah, he did. All right, so that's what we tried this week. Let's see. Let's move into a little. I like this one. Fountain thoughts.
Okay. So let me explain this segment because I think we're going to make it kind of a reoccurring segment. We've always been looking for places to put like random shit and whether that's
random thoughts.
Random thoughts. Yeah. And so it's kind of like shower thoughts, you know, just random thoughts that pop into your head when you're in the shower. As most of you know, as most of you are like me, you do your best arguing in the shower, your best thinking in the shower. And so fountain thoughts is like the Kansas City version of shower thoughts. And so it's random thoughts that pop into your head. And this random thought is, Mike Sweeney, if it weren't for steroids, would have won 5 MVP awards.
I'm here for it. So very much so.
So someone posted this on the Kansas City Royals Reddit page, and it's not quite Sweeney would have won 5 MVP awards, but it says in the year 2000, in the 2000 season, Sweeney finished 11th in MVP voting. But that was at the height of the steroid era. Those numbers in 2000, when Sweeney finished 11th, would have won the MVP award 5 times in the years after the steroid era. So
yes.
Sweeney Dog's numbers in that era, or in the year 2000, where is it? So he batted .333. I think he finished third in batting average that year.
Mm-hmm.
His slug or his on base was .407 and his slugging was .523. He had 206 hits, 29 dongs, 144 RBIs, 105 runs, and 71 walks. So those numbers, according to this, would have been good enough to win the MVP in 2002 over Miguel Tejada. In 2008 over Dustin Pedroia, no doy. By the way, the 2008 MVP awards are hilarious because this is like right after the steroid era. Mm-hmm. Dustin Pedroia hit 17 home runs that year.
Yeah.
Second place, Justin Morneau in MVP voting. He hit 23 home runs that
year. Yeah.
Joe Mauer finished 4th in MVP voting and he hit 9 home runs.
Whereas I can't imagine that happening.
In 2000, Manny Ramirez finished 6th in MVP voting and hit 38 home runs.
Steroid numbers. They're good.
Steroid numbers are the best. But yeah, Sweeney, according to this post, would have won in 2008 and then in 2017 and 2018.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Mike Sweeney, was unfairly booed by Royals fans at the end of his tenure when really he is truly one of the best Royals players of all time. Royals Hall of Famer.
I agree. Yeah, I think he definitely was getting booed. He was missing a lot of time. He is complaining about old man things like his back being hurt and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so that didn't help. And I, you know, he was making a lot of money for those Royals
yeah.
team. Let me see if I can get his salary real quick.
And we were so mad at how much he was getting paid and being like, oh my gosh, Sweeney's such a bum. He like led the league. He won a batting title for the Royals. And yeah, just really gets unfairly judged for just playing on some really bad teams.
He was making $11 million a year from 2003 to 2007. So,
what a bargain to get a player like that.
The bargain in 20.
$11 million a year for that. A guy who's a couple years removed from hitting .333 with 29 bombs
and 44 RBIs.
Eric Hosmer hit .285 with 25 home runs and got $110 million. Oh, man.
Oh, it's also hilarious to see their war. Like in 2000, Pedro Martinez should have won the MVP in 2000.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think his WAR was like 11.4 or something like that in a single season.
Goodness gracious. All right. Well, that okay. That's our Fallon thoughts. Mike Sweeney could have won 5 MVPs.
Would have won 5 MVPs. Would have won 5. You can't debate it.
All right.
5-time. We should refer to him as 5-time
MVP.
Mike Sweeney.
Michael Sweeney. All right. Let's do a little Midwest mad. And I think we're coming at this because I would be mad if I was Johnny Cause and bought $40,000 worth of alcohol for St. Patrick's Day and then had St. Patrick's Day canceled. That would be a huge bummer. But what they ended up doing was starting to just sell that alcohol. I'm sure they're marking it up and making some money, but also giving really good deals. So it's nice that you feel like you can help support a local business and go buy a ton of booze. Like my roommate went and bought $100 worth of booze from them.
From Johnny Cause?
Yeah. From Johnny Cause Yard Bar. Went down there with his truck, loaded up on Mick Ultras, Coors Lights, Claws, Red Bull. Like, we are ready for the quarantine in this house. We are stocked.
Ready to get drunk for the quarantine.
Yes, exactly. And they gave him a $50 gift card for spending $100. So,
sheesh.
What a deal.
That's a good enough deal.
I know. So, and then I went to, I think a lot of businesses are doing this. I went to Lou's in Waldo and got a 6-pack of Bud Light for $6. Yeah. Great deal.
That's a really good deal.
Uh-huh. So,
do you think Johnny Caw himself paid for the all $40,000 for booze?
I think
for
so.
An Irish holiday.
I think so. So that's Midwest mad. But we also have a Midwest nice, coming out of the Rona pandemic.
Okay.
Pandemic. Yes.
We have a lot of Midwest nices.
And a couple of them courtesy of our friend Andy Rieger, who we just had on the podcast.
He was like, what, 2 episodes ago?
Yeah.
So, first, Rieger, the restaurant. So Rieger Hotel, which is a restaurant, which is separate from the distillery. I mean, it's all the same, but a little bit separate. They had to close down their kitchen or close down their restaurant because every restaurant did. So they are doing a crossroads. They're calling it Crossroads Community Kitchen. And so basically, in order to keep their staff paid, they're opening their kitchen and making kind of to-go meals in the Crossroads Community Kitchen. And it's kind of a pay as you can system. So whatever you can afford to pay, whatever you think the meal is worth, 10, 15, 20 bucks, then you pay as you can for whatever meal they're cooking up that day in the Crossroads Community Kitchen. So that's at the Rieger Hotel, the restaurant.
Yeah, and using that to help make sure they can pay their hourly workers who are losing all their hours due to the restaurant being closed.
But yeah, 100% of it goes towards their staff. And then the Rieger Distillery, you've probably all seen this because it's gone relatively viral, but they are selling
hand sanitizer.
Craft hand sanitizer. So
yes.
If this already weren't like the most millennial pandemic of all time, we now have Craft small batch hand sanitizer being produced and people waiting in lines to get it.
Yeah.
They had to get a police barricade to direct traffic.
Yeah. I only buy local for hand sanitizer. I need that Craft local quality hand sanitizer because they just can't make it like they do locally, you know?
If I don't know where the hand sanitizer is sourced, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, props to Rieger for doing what they can. Again, yes. I think it's a pay whatever you want for it. But I just think like in 10 years, we're going to look back at this and be like, remember when Rieger was selling Craft hand sanitizer?
Hell yeah.
Like the millennials made everything Craft, including hand sanitizer.
Yes. Yes, of course. Everything can be made Craft. And then we had the liquor fairy going around. To what you might say, liquor fairy. I hardly even know her, but
I was going to let you have it.
Is not that kind of that's not what's going on here. what's going on? I hardly know her. But what's going on is, I don't know, some anonymous person is going around and leaving, again, mostly local craft beers and then maybe a shot of Fireball or whiskey or something like that on people's doorstep and just saying, hey, here's some booze to get you through these times.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to liquor fairy, but it's nice that it's coming out now, and mm-hmm. it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yes, yeah, people helping people, beautiful.
People helping people, liquor fairies helping people.
Yes, exactly. So while all this craziness is going on, at least there are some people doing some good out there and finding ways to make things a little bit better. So we hope you share our podcast with people in Kansas City who have more free time on their hands now, just to keep up with what's going on in Kansas City.
Liquor podcast.
Yeah. All right. So that is it, except for the mixed plate this week.
Oh, we've got an update on the fire from last week.
Davey's Uptown. We do. What's good in the neighborhood?
Yeah. So Davey's Uptown, as we talked about last week, they're reopening. They're rebuilding. They've lost a lot, but they're rebuilding. And I just want to say, I'm on to you, Davey's Uptown. What a perfect time to be closed down and rebuild.
Yeah.
But you burn it down, you get an insurance check, you're closed while everyone else is closed,
mm-hmm.
and you just are rebuilding.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they were at that same briefing as some of those senators who were able to sell off millions of dollars in stock. It was them and Davey.
It was the richest people in North Carolina. Uh-huh. Senator Barr or whatever his name is. Burr. Yeah.
Freaking
guy.
And Davey.
And then the owners of Davey's Uptown.
They knew it was coming and they profited off of it.
Those sons of bitches.
Damn.
Also, they could
Davey's.
Also, they could make a grimy dive bar and have local musicians play. Big fat cats.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, nothing gets by us here. Nothing gets by us.
No, so but good luck to Davey's Uptown rebuilding, but just know we're on to you.
All right, so now we have our mixed plate, where each week we have a different topic, and we build a mixed plate around it. You got your two meats and your two sides, just as you would build a meat mixed plate at Gates Barbecue. So let's see. All right, we have the mixed plate of being a groomsman. In the spirit of talking to Chris Easter about weddings and wedding season, and we would have been on upon bachelor and bachelorette party season. So let's talk about what it's like being a groomsman and the mixed plate of that. I believe it's your serve. I believe it's your serve.
Okay. Can you hear me? Did you lose me?
Okay. Yeah. I lost you there for a second.
My internet is hanging on by a thread here.
Free Google fiber.
My internet's like, it's like holding on to the cliff and it's got like three fingers left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if one more piece of video gets passed through my fiber optics, like I'm losing one more finger. okay. So mixed plate of being a groomsman. I understand that correctly.
Yes, you did.
Me number one. I'm going with grabbing butts during pictures and making the other groomsmen laugh
while
all the bridesmaids are like lined up and taking it very seriously, and the bride is definitely taking it seriously, and you're lining up to take pics and you're just pinching butts and the photographer has about had enough. That's classic. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to keep it light. The bride and the bridesmaids are taking it way too serious. So just someone's got to lighten the mood. Someone's got to lighten the mood.
But,
all right. I mean, my meat number one is if you're a groomsman, you get to go on the bachelor party. So
that's a good one.
I mean, that is where just the bonding happens of the wedding party. A lot of times, groomsmen will be a mix of college friends, high school friends, and family. So the bachelor party really brings it all together. So then when you come back for the wedding, everyone's got that twinkle in their eye, like, this guy. I know about this guy now.
Yeah, you've got these new friends, and you're at the wedding, and you're like chumming it up with your new friends from the bachelor party, and your wife is like, who is that guy? I'm like, oh, Schmitty? Like, that guy is fucking classic.
Yeah, man, just classic. What a legend.
Oh, he's a legend. Oh, my God. And your wife's just like, whatever.
Yeah, and then you're like, no, let me tell you this story. It was hilarious, and it's not a funny story. Like, you had to be there. You had to be there.
Yeah. All right, so my meet number two of being a groomsman or a bridesmaid is just it's really feeling like a celebrity. Like,
ah, dang it.
You've got the tux on. That. You stand out. That. You're dressed nicer than everyone. You get to sit at the head table, mm-hmm. like grandparents and aunts and people who don't know you are like, oh man, well, he's a groomsman, so he must be legit. He's important. So like you literally feel like a celebrity, and you got pictures being taken of you. And it's a great feeling.
Yeah. There's something about knowing that you don't know everyone out there, but everyone knows who you are because you're a groomsman. Mm-hmm. It's pretty baller.
Exactly. A great way to put it.
It's pretty baller. All right. So, because I had that. Dang, that was good. So my meet number two, I'm going to say if you get to walk down the aisle with a cute bridesmaid.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that's like when you're like kind of like if you ever had to stand boy, girl in line in grade school, you're like, oh man, I hope my name is next to a cute girl's name and we get to stand in line together. It's kind of how it's like when you're walking down the aisle at a wedding. You're like, oh, I wonder which bridesmaid I get paired up with to walk down the aisle. And you're like, okay, cool. Because then
you're like partners the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Like our sister's wedding, I got to walk down the aisle with Lauren, who I had a crush on in high school and thought she was real cute. And then here I am, like 15 years later. I mean, she's married with two kids. But I mean, I was like, oh, I got to walk down the aisle with my crush from like 15 years ago. Sweet.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That definitely sounds familiar. Like when you're like lining up by height or something like that, or mm-hmm. or like ABC order, and you're like, oh, wait, who am I lining up next to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my side number one of my mixed plate of being the groomsman, I'm going to say getting ready the morning of.
Ah, that's good fun. Good fun.
I think like when you're getting ready, you're just like, you're all hanging around in like your gym clothes and an undershirt, and you haven't started putting your tux on, but you're drinking some beers. You're having like, I don't know, Chick-fil-A breakfast or something, like Casey's pizza, breakfast pizza. And just kind of chumming it up, and you're not in your big crowd yet. You're not taking pictures. You don't have to be dressed up. You don't have to be on. You're not meeting parents or anything like that, or you're not sitting in church. It's just your small crew, and that's a good hang. It's one of the best hangs of all time, really.
It is a good hang. I like that one. That is a really fun morning. And, you know, you can have a breakfast beer or two as well as you're doing it. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with my side number one of being a groomsman. I'm going to say giving a toast or a speech. So either if you're a groomsman and you're a best man, you get to give a speech. Or if you're a groomsman, you might be given a toast at the rehearsal dinner. Just a good chance to, you know, really razz your guy and kind of make fun of him. And again, you got that celebrity status. You're like a groomsman. You're up there talking. You got the microphone. And really, like, being a groomsman, like, people are expecting you to cross the line a little bit. So I think anything's in bounds. Like, because people are just like, oh, no, they got the microphone. The groomsman got it. And people are like, well, all right, buckle up. Here we go. Big fan. Speeches, toasts as a groomsman.
Okay, that's solid. All right, so for my meet number two, or sorry, my side number two, is going to be I'm gonna say wearing a tux. I kind of already. Well, does that fall too much under the being a
senior? I mean, you already said wearing a tux.
Okay, I'm gonna say volunteering for certain responsibilities, because then you won't get assigned another job because you already have a job. Mm-hmm. So loading the cooler, taking the cooler on, putting the cooler onto the bus, basically anything around the cooler.
Yeah.
Like make that your job so that then when the time comes for when the bride's yelling at people to like get stuff off the bus or like get in here, like we need to load out. You're like, I'm in charge of the cooler. I've got a job. Here's my job. It's about the cooler. So, just making your job about the cooler so that your responsibilities elsewhere, you know, you already have that covered.
Yeah. I like that one. Just volunteering ahead of time for the easiest thing. So then you're not going to be voluntold to do something shitty.
Exactly.
All right. So I'll wrap this up. Meet number two. I'm going to go with the groomsman gift that you receive. So, you know, whether it be the sweet baseball that, something like that, that Chris gave us, but really even if it's socks or, a duffel bag, whatever it may be, some of the socks that I've got, every time I put them on, I'm like, damn, that was a fun night. Like I have my buddy Dave's Royals socks. And every time I strap those on, I'm like, whoa, that was a party. Or I have the socks that you gave me and around Christmas time, putting them on now. It's like, oh, those were some times. That was fun.
Go back to crushing gin and tonics and Papakino's pizza.
And taking my shirt off on the dance floor.
Man,
yeah. So the groomsman gift, it's a nice keepsake. And when you see it, brings back those memories. Very nice.
For sure. For sure.
All right. So that'll do it for
us. Did you leave anything off? Anything honorable mentions?
Yeah. I was saying it was kind of like yours, too close, but I said shaking hands with people, which I missed doing that. But anyways, shaking hands with people you don't know, but they know you.
That's a power I kind of have it in the same, just hamming it up with adults.
Yeah.
Just being real Eddie Haskell and just like, just laying it on thick in ham mode and just really hamming it up with adults is one of my favorite things to do in general, but you really get that opportunity at weddings.
Oh yeah. Everyone's in a good mood, laid back, just hamming it up.
Eating first as well is big time.
Yes, eating first is nice. Really eating first on everything, too. Very clutch. Very good. Head table is just baller. Head table's awesome.
Yeah, head table's sweet.
Head table is awesome. All right. Let's end there. That'll do it for us this week. Luckily, like we said, we do have some episodes that we had already recorded. We're going to start doing some Zoom episodes, too, via Zoom meeting. What are we going to do? What are we going to air next week?
Next week, we're going to air the Lowe's Hotel interview.
Okay. I'm down.
But obviously, so we toured the new Lowe's Hotel, which is the new convention center hotel downtown. They are not going to be opening April 2nd like the original plan was, but it's still an interesting conversation. They're going to be opening, you know, sometime soon, sometime this spring or summer. So it's still an interesting interview, and it's, well, we could push that off one more week. I don't care.
We'll play it. Okay. We'll do the Lowe's Hotel. So it is cool because we do talk with the operations manager who runs the whole hotel, and we talk with the director of sales for the hotel too. So that big new convention hotel that went up, you can learn all about what's going on inside, what's the plans for everything in there. The two guys we talked to were awesome. It was a really fun, cool interview. So, yes.
I basically asked, like, if hot water can ever run out in a hotel.
I asked, how do hotels make money? Because I don't get it. So we asked some dumb questions. It was really fun. So be sure to listen to that one. But that's it. That's all we have for you this week. Continue to vote for your favorite bar, best bar in Kansas City. Voting for the Elite Eight will go till Thursday, and then Friday to Monday will be the championship round. So by the time you're listening next week, we will have a champion crowned and a destination for our happy hour once we can all get together. So go do that. Follow us on social media to keep up with that @StateNewMarket. And that's all we have for you this week. We'll see you around Kansas City.